Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Gaura Premanandi Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parvajakacharya Stotra Satis Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Skan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai BBT Founder Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sekaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhar Shibasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopina Shama Kun Radha Kun Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Ganga Maya Ki Jai Jamuna Maya Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai The Most Beautiful Lordship Shri Shri Radhananda Nishwara Ki Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai Agiriraj Maharaj Ki Jai Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai Harinam Sankirtana Ki Jai Sankirtan Yagya Ki Jai Brihamadanga Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi Shri Krishna Janmashtami Ki Jai Eve of Shri Krishna Janmashtami Mahamahotsav Ki Jai Tai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet, to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you for coming, being part of Srimad Bhagavatam class, hearing from such exalted scriptures. Before I begin, I would like to seek blessings from all of the assembled Vaishnavas, many of whom are senior to me in every way. So by your mercy and blessings, I will be able to speak something from this exalted scripture of Srimad Bhagavatam, and specifically from the 10th canto, which we're reading today. Only by the mercy of Vaishnavas is anything possible, so therefore I'm begging for your mercy. Hare Krishna. So we'll be continuing our reading from Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 28. Anyone remembers the title of the 28th chapter? Krishna rescues someone. Nanda Maharaj. Perfect. Thank you. Krishna Rescues Nanda Maharaj. And today we'll be reading a series of texts, starting with 14. All of them have purports. I was asked to speak, read 14, 15, and 16, and then comment. But 17 is on the same topic, pretty much. Also has a purport, but is the last verse of this chapter. So I'll just read all of them and conclude this chapter today. So everyone will have to listen a little bit to some reading. And that's chapter 7, or text 17 on the board. So we'll start with text 14. Before we begin, please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devam Saraswatiam Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Nastra Praishva Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Nityam Bhagavata Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. So, text 14 through 17. I'll read the first ones on my own and then you can repeat 17. Iti sanchancha bhagavan mahakaruni kohari darshayam ashalokam hushmam gopanam tamasaparam. Thus, deeply considering the situation, the all-merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, revealed to the cowherd men his abode, which is beyond material darkness. Translations and purports by disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It is clear from this verse that the Absolute Truth dwells in His own eternal abode. Every one of us tries to live as comfortably as possible, surrounding ourselves with peace and beauty. How can we, in the name of logic, begrudge the Supreme Lord, our Creator, the supremely beautiful and comfortable abode known by people in general as the Kingdom of God? Text 15. Satyam yanam anantam yad bhama jyoti sanatanam yaddi pasyanti munaye gunapaye samahitaha. Translation. Lord Krishna revealed the indestructible spiritual effulgence which is unlimited, conscious, and eternal. Sages see that spiritual existence in trance when their consciousness is free of the modes of material nature. Purport. In text 14, Lord Krishna revealed to the residents of Vrindavan his own abode, the spiritual planet of Krishna Loka. This and innumerable other Vaikuntha planets float in an infinite ocean of spiritual light called the Brahma Jyoti. That spiritual light is in fact the spiritual sky, which Krishna also quite naturally revealed to the residents of Vrindavan. For example, if we want to show the moon to a child, we say, "Look up in the sky. See the moon over there in the sky?" Similarly, Lord Krishna revealed the vast spiritual sky to the residents of Vrindavan, but as emphasized in text 14 and in the following text 16, the actual destination of the Lord's associates was his own spiritual planet. So you can see how these verses are all interconnected. So text 16. Te tu brahma vidam nita magna krishnena kadvita dadrishur brahmano lokam yatra kruro jagatpura. Translation and purport. The cowherd men were brought by Lord Krishna to the Brahma Rida, made to submerge in the water and then lifted up. From the same vantage point that Akura saw the spiritual world, the cowherd men saw the planet of the Absolute Truth. Purport. The unlimited extension of spiritual life, called the Brahma Jyoti in text 15, is compared to a lake called the Brahma Rada. Lord Krishna submerged the cowherd men in that lake in the sense that he submerged them in the awareness of the impersonal Brahman. But then, as indicated by the word udritaha, he lifted them up to a higher understanding, that of the personality of Godhead in his own planet. As clearly stated here, dadrishur brahmano lokam, they saw, just as Akura did, the transcendental abode of the Absolute Truth. The evolution of consciousness may briefly summarized as follows. In ordinary consciousness, we perceive and are attracted to the variety of material things. Rising to the first stage of spiritual consciousness, we transcend material variety and focus instead on the undifferentiated one, which lies behind and gives existence to the many. Finally, rising to Krishna consciousness, we find that the Absolute Spiritual One contains its own eternal variety. In fact, since this world is a mere shadow of eternal existence, we should expect to find spiritual variety within the One. And indeed, we do find it in the sacred text of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Just making sure everybody's still awake here reading. Astute readers may note that the pastime involving Akura takes place later on in the Bhagavatam, after the present affair with the cowherd men. The reason Shukadeva Goswami says Akura saw Vaikuntha Pura previously is that all these incidents took place many years before the conversation between Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. Oh. Okay. Now, today's verse, text 17. Please repeat. Nandadayastutam drishtva Paramananda nivritaha Krishnam cha tatra chandobi Stuyamanam suvishmitaha Nandadayas tutam drishtva Paramananda nivritaha Krishnam cha tatra chandobi Stuyamanam suvishmitaha. Did I miss something?
No, I'm just seeing if I wrote it correctly. Sorry. Vishmita at the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, Vishmitaha. There's a dot under that H, yeah, so it's Vishmitaha. Someone would like to repeat?
Nanda dayas tu tandrista, Tatrachantobi, Krishnachantobi, Stuyamanam Savismita,
Stuyamanam Savismita.
Ladies, please. Nandadaya stutam drishtva
Paramananda nirvita
Vishnam
chatatrachandrobi
Stuyamanam savismita
Nandadaya stutam drishtva
Paramananda nirvita
Word for word. Nanda Adaya. The cowherd men headed by Nanda Maharaj. To and tam that. Drishtva. Anyone have any guess on what drishtva?
Seeing,
yeah. Seeing. Padama. Anyone? Padama? The Supreme. The Supreme. Ananda. By ecstasy. Nirvitaha. Overwhelmed with joy. Krishnam.
Krishna,
Krishna, cha, and tatra, there, chandobihi, anyone want to take a guess, chandobihi, very good, the Vedic hymns, sturyamanam, being praised, su, yeah, very much. Vishmitaha, surprised. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men felt the greatest happiness when they saw that transcendental abode. They were especially amazed to see Krishna Himself there, surrounded by the personified Vedas who were offering Him prayers. Although the residents of Vrindavan considered themselves ordinary persons, sorry, this is the purport. Although the residents of Vrindavan considered themselves ordinary persons, Lord Krishna wanted them to know of their extraordinary good fortune. Thus, within a lake in the Jamuna River, the Lord showed them His personal abode. The cowherd men were amazed to see that the kingdom of God had exactly the same spiritual atmosphere as their own earthly Vrindavan, and that, just as in their Vrindavan, Lord Krishna was personally present. In their unique vision, He was present as the Lord of the spiritual world. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out, these verses emphasize that Lord Krishna did not merely show the cowherd men a sample Vaikuntha planet, but that He specifically revealed His Krishna Loka, the greatest of all eternal abodes, and the natural home of the residents of Vrindavan who loved Krishna more than anyone else did. Jai Jagannath Mahadev Subhaji Maharani Ki Jai Shishi Radha Landa Mishra Giri Govardhan Shishi Gorni Thai Ki Jai. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 28th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Krishna Rescues Nanda Maharaj from the Abode of Varuna. So next week we'll be starting chapter 29. Anyone knows what's happening in chapter 29? Krishna and the gopis meet for the rasa dance. So getting into very intimate pastimes leading up to Radhastami. Okay. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Achakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpa turubhyascha kripa sindhubhyaiva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Hari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is a number of verses, but I'll just read the last one again. Nandadayas chutam drishtva paramananda nivritaha krishnam cha tatra chandobihi stuyamanam suvishmitaha. Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men felt the greatest happiness when they saw that transcendental abode. They were especially amazed to see Krishna himself there, surrounded by the personified Vedas, who were offering him prayers. So many points to speak upon from these verses and purports, especially leading up to tomorrow, which is Jamashtami, and the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Just to a little bit set the scene here, not sure if everyone's aware, sometimes it's easy to lose track where we are in the Bhagavatam and what is happening here. So, does anyone know why Nanda Maharaj needs to be rescued? Yeah.
Is it because he was bathing at the wrong time? He got taken away by Varuna's henchman?
Servant, yeah. Varuna's servant. Yeah, so Nanda Maharaj was bathing in which river? Anyone knows? Jamuna. Yeah, that should be pretty obvious generally, but not always. But bathing in the Jamuna, in the Kalindi. And it's described that he was bathing on the Dwadasi before breaking fast, which he was fasting on the Ekadasi. And so this Ekadasi is the Ekadasi just following which event that we celebrate and has just happened in the Bhagavatam? Govardhan Puja, exactly. So after this Govardhan Puja Leela, then about a week and a few days later, Ekadasi comes, and Nanda Maharaj has been fasting, and he is desiring to break his fast on the Dwadasi day. And in order to break fast, he goes to the Jamuna to have bath, to purify himself so that he can honor some prasad. And unfortunately, it's quite late, and it's become dark, and he enters into the river when it is dark, which is scripturally an inauspicious time. So one of Varun Dev's servants who is described by Varundev himself later as demoniac, having not recognized Nanda Maharaj as the father of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also not understanding the purpose behind Nanda Maharaj bathing, which is that he has been fasting on Ekadasi, he needs to bathe so that he can break fast, which is implied there that certain rules and regulations are superseded by other rules and regulations or activities that may have a higher purpose. So at that point, Nanda Maharaj is taken captive and brought before Varundev, and the cowherd men who were bathing with Nanda Maharaj, they became in great despair because Nanda Maharaj went into the Jamuna to take bath, but he didn't come out. So you can imagine if you're with some devotees and everyone's going bathing in Jamuna or Ganga and you come out and they don't, then there's going to be deep concern. So immediately the cowherd men start to cry out,
Krishna.
Krishna. Yeah. They don't say, oh, Nanda Baba, where are you? Or any, they're immediately like, Krishna, Krishna. Please come and help us. And what does Krishna do? Immediately he jumps into the Jamuna and goes to immediately to the abode of Lord Varuna, where Nanda Maharaj is being held captive. Or he's not actually held captive, but he's there in the association of Varundev. Now as soon as Lord Krishna arrives, immediately Lord Varuna, he begins to offer praise and worship and many prayers of glorification of Krishna. And Nanda Maharaj is quite astounded to see that Varundev is offering glorification and praise to his son. The acharyas explain that this is also as we see, because he's surprised, then of course, Varundev releases Nanda Maharaj, and they go back to the shore. Krishna takes Nanda Maharaj back to the shores of the Kalindi, and all the cowherd men are overwhelmed and so grateful and happy to see that Nanda Maharaj is alive. And Nanda Maharaj begins to explain to them, actually, Krishna saved me from this difficult situation, and when he appeared before Lord Varundev, Varuna began to offer him prayers and worship, and everyone was praising and glorifying Krishna, our little resident of Vrindavan, this simple cowherd boy. And the acharyas explain that actually this pastime is also helping those of us who may be inclined to demigod worship to see that even Varuna is offering praise and glorification and accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's recognized him in his form of Krishna, which is interesting. We could get into a whole thing because the pastime is just manifested where Lord Indra tried to annihilate the entire village of Vrindavan because he didn't recognize. So as I was reading, I was thinking maybe amongst the demigods, word spreads fast that actually, Krishna's God, don't mess with him. So the king of heaven, who has just created a very intense blunder or mistake, I'm sure somehow or other all of the demigods were made very, very quickly aware of Krishna's prominence or position or post. So like that, Nanda Maharaj is released, and then they begin to, Krishna goes off about his business, and the cowherd men and Nanda Maharaj, they begin to speak about Krishna and glorify Krishna, and they're saying that Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If that's the case, then we sincerely hope that by his association, he will reveal to us the spiritual sky, that we'll actually get to see that eternal supreme abode. Janma karma chame devyam evam yuveti tatvadaha chaktva deham punar janma naiti mamiti so arjuna. Krishna explains that one who desires to understand more about him, to understand his activities and his appearance in this world, that at the end of this life, they return to his supreme abode, and they never come back to this material world. So the residents of Vrindavan, the cowherd men, they're desiring to see this abode. And Krishna, being situated within the heart of every living entity, and especially who is dear to the residents of Vrindavan, he understands this desire, and he therefore reveals the spiritual world to them. So the comparison is made here that just like the spiritual world was revealed to Akrura. So anyone remembers that pastime, how that manifested, that Akrura got to see the spiritual world? Anyone? A little something? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very nice, exactly. So when Akrura came to Vrindavan to take Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, which in and of itself was a devastating scene, exceptionally emotional, and which is compared to the scene where Lord Chaitanya takes sannyas when he has all of his hair shaved off, and everyone is crying and crying and crying. So in the same, in this pastime, when Krishna and Balaram are being taken from Vrindavan, then all the residents are crying, and you know, begging for Akrura not to take them and for them to stay like this. So a very devastating scene for all the residents of Vrindavan. But Akrura leaves with Krishna and Balaram in the chariot. But they stop just before they exit the Mathura district, and they decide to bathe in the Jamuna, again in the Kalindi. And when they do, first Krishna and Balaram bathe, and then Akrura asks them to sit in the chariot and wait while he goes and does his bathing. And while he's taking bath in the waters, he sees Krishna and Balaram, and he's thinking, how did they get here? They're sitting in the chariot. And then he looks back and he sees that they're sitting in the chariot. Then he looks back again and he sees Anantashesh in the ocean, and he also sees the Supreme Lord lying down on Anantashesh, and all of the devatas and so many other exalted personalities all within the water. And Akrura then is overwhelmed with ecstasy, as is described here, that the cowherd men, they felt great happiness, extreme happiness at having the spiritual world revealed to them. And Akrura then, a whole chapter is dedicated to the prayers that he offers. And of course, Akrura is known as the personality representing one of the nine limbs of devotional service, which is Vandanam, which is the offering of prayers. And those prayers there that are offered are very very wonderful and amazing. If you have time, you can also see those, read through those prayers. So like that, the same incident is happening here, and that Krishna is fulfilling the desires of the residents of Vrindavan, who, where it says in the purport that they're thinking themselves just normal people, it says, although the residents of Vrindavan considered themselves ordinary persons, Lord Krishna wanted them to know of their extraordinary good fortune. So the Lord is reciprocating here with the residents of Vrindavan, who are humbly thinking themselves just ordinary people, although they're actually situated in topmost levels of devotional service. So, I was thinking here that it's quite interesting how Nanda Maharaj has just had to undergo some difficulties. I mean, this is Nanda Maharaj, and we see we've also just come out of the whole pastime of the Govardhan Leela. And since tomorrow is Jamashtami, I was reading through some different the beginning sections of the Bhagavatam, and also listening to some lectures. And in one lecture, devotee was giving some nice analogies of the first four or first three chapters of the Bhagavatam, a tenth canto where the Lord is manifesting. And it's related to this situation because he's describing that actually the advent of Lord Krishna, which I believe is the first chapter, is brought about because of distress. Because Mother Earth, Mother Bhumi, is being distressed by demoniac kings. So the devatas go and offer prayers to Lord Krishna and to the Supreme Lord, and then he agrees to manifest. Then, from that difficulty, then the Lord manifests within the womb of Devaki, and then that is the chapter that the demigods offer prayers. So the demigods then are offering prayers, and the analogy is given there that the practice or the sadhana of devotional service is beginning because prayers are being offered, respect is there, worship, and the Lord is coming forth in his manifestation. Then the Lord manifests the appearance of Lord Krishna. Actually, there's four chapters, the appearance of Lord Krishna. So the Lord is then manifests out of that sadhana, out of that that practice of devotional service. But then after the Lord manifests, then is the atrocities of King Kamsa. So then after the Lord is manifested, then King Kamsa begins to really have his way and start to perform very heinous types of activities and atrocities. So the analogy is given here that even once one is performing the practice of devotional service and the Lord is manifesting in one's life, which we experience through the association of devotees, the chanting of the holy names, that we begin to see Krishna's hand in our life. But the analogy is given that don't think that at that point you're going to just experience nothing but peace and happiness. Because actually what then will begin to happen is that when the Lord is manifest, then difficulties and challenges will certainly come. On the path of devotional service, we will meet with many obstacles. But the point of each and every one of these obstacles, if we're seeing from material perspective, if we're seeing from spiritual perspective, if we're seeing it from a material perspective with these obstacles, then we become disgruntled. We become disillusioned, we become upset, we begin to blaspheme devotees or deride devotees or deride the process of bhakti, or we go away from the association of devotees, or we throw a tantrum and have a little fit and cry about it and, you know, woe is me and the world is my enemy and I'm such a good person, but you know, no one can see that. You know, we enter into this materialistic mentality that is focused on I, me, and mine. But if one has spiritual vision or is cultivating and developing that spiritual vision and is able to take good association, then one would see that actually this is simply an obstacle that is an opportunity for me to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. Just like Queen Kunti, she comes to the point where she's actually praying for calamities. Now, of course, we don't need to necessarily pray for calamities because plenty of them come of their own accord. But at least when they come, instead of entering into a materialistic mentality, we can enter into a spiritual mentality which will enable us to take shelter of Krishna. Just like when all of the demons were being sent to Vrindavan, the devotees there, the residents of Vrindavan, they took shelter of Krishna. They were trying to protect Krishna. They all had their individual rasas and relationships with the Supreme Lord, but they were taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. And in every situation, the opportunity is being given for us to take more and more shelter of the Lord. So we have to see that when, difficulties come, do we take shelter of the material energy and find ourselves gliding down into difficulty and distress and anxiety, or do we take shelter of the holy name? Do we take shelter of devotees? Do we rise above the situation by taking shelter of the Supreme Lord? Just like here it explains that the Lord lifted them from one level to the next, so in the same way, when we take shelter of Krishna in difficult times, then we can actually rise above these situations. Because the plan of the Lord, as revealed in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, is actually to take everyone back home, back to the spiritual world. This is the plan of the Lord. We're all here in a rectificatory institute because we're actually criminals. And if we think that we're just really good, pious people, and we're the best people, then that's part of our criminal mentality. Actually, Prabhupada explained that if you have a material body in the material world, then you should have a certain word tattooed across your forehead. And that word is?
Criminal.
It means that we're thieves. We've come here to enjoy the Lord's property. Right? Anyone here to do that? Oh my God, I'm the only one. Amazing. But I'm definitely here trying to enjoy the Lord's property. I'm absolutely a criminal and a thief who's desiring only to exploit the material energy for my own pleasure. That's why I'm here in the material world. That was the desire that's brought me here. Now I'm hoping somehow or other, by the mercy of my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and the devotees, that that mentality can be curbed so that I can actually desire to serve Krishna as I'm meant to be doing. But because we're here exploiting the material energy, we are criminals. And we've been doing it for a very long time. You know, we shouldn't pretend. We've been here trying to enjoy for a very long time, and all that time doing so many horrendous things. Yet when the minutest little thing happens to us, we think, why me? What have I done? I'm such a good person. But no, I'm not. I'm actually a criminal. And I've been performing criminal activities in the material world in aversion to the Supreme Lord for so many births, that the fact that some small thing has happened to me, or even a big thing has happened to me, is not a surprise. Why am I so surprised that I'm getting a taste of something that doesn't seem to be so good? You know, how many things have I done? We can't remember what we did last week or 1 month ago to someone. We can't remember what we said to someone that might have affected them in such a nasty way that we go about our business thinking, la-da-da-da-da-da-da, life goes on. Meanwhile, someone else has been completely devastated in their lives, and you think, I'm okay, Jack. It's all right. Everything's okay. But yet, we're performing activities day in and day out that are affecting so many other living entities, isn't it? And we can't even remember most of them because most of the time we're relatively unconscious, right? Yes,
I think the tricky word you mentioned is I, we, or it's like I, me, my. If you take those words out of the equation and you think about other people first, then I think things start making a lot more sense.
Mm. Very nice. Actually, Krishna explains that the real lesson of the Bhagavad Gita is to think of Him.
Yes.
Because thinking of others is extended sense gratification. So then we think, oh yes, I care about Prabhuji here. I'm looking after him so nicely. But we have to be careful that that love for another is reposed through the Lord. Otherwise, we just become known for looking after others. You understand? So it's a subtle trap, but it's also a trap. So the point is, we have to go to the Om Purnamadi Purnamidam, the perfect and complete. And when we repose our love through the perfect and complete, then where that love is reposed afterwards is also perfect and complete. But if we just begin to do mundane care for others, in a sense, does that make sense? Then that is still on the material platform. Like so many people do so much charitable activity to help other people. But really underneath what they want is to be recognized as a charitable person. You understand? Yeah. Perfect. Thank you very much. So yes, service of the devotees, service of Krishna's devotees, service to the world in the name of the Lord is the highest perfection, is the highest welfare activity. And the highest welfare activity for everyone is to help them to come to the platform where they remember that they're actually an eternal spirit soul, servant of the Supreme Lord, and to help engage them in devotional service. And this will end all suffering. How? Because then they come to the point where they don't need to come back here again into the world of the Trigunas and into the world of the threefold miseries and into the world of karmic reactions. So they can go back and be with Krishna eternally. Anyone else has any comments or questions at this point? Since yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu said in the beginning, the residents of Vrindavan, they were thinking they were just ordinary.
Yeah.
And then then we compare that with the neophyte devotee, the neophyte transcendentalist. They think they're very nice. You know, after a little bit of practice of Krishna consciousness, they think they're very nice versus the residents of the Vrindavan thinking they're very ordinary, but they're on top of this platform.
Mm-hmm.
Could you say something about that?
Yeah, because the residents of Vrindavan, they're very simple in their devotional service, because they just love Krishna, and they're absorbed in Krishna consciousness, versus the neophyte who is coming in with so many material residue on the heart and in the mind, and the false ego is very much inflated, focused on I, me, and my. And most of us come either from an atheistic or an impersonalistic situation. So it means that the personal aspect, which is based around service, is non-existent, and the focus is to deliver me. The focus is that I get out of here alive, you know, kind of thing. The focus is that I make it. So it's very, very egocentric. It's very focused on myself, whereas the residents in Vrindavan, their lives are focused on the service of the Lord. Their lives are focused on devotional service to Krishna. So there's and they just, because in doing that, they keep themselves in a subordinate position, whereas the impersonalistic perspective usually is to make one the supreme. To, you know, in the process of understanding myself as a spirit soul, that becomes which is comprised of Satchit and Ananda, that becomes all mixed up with also becoming God, because God is also Satchit and Ananda. So in realizing my godliness or my godlike nature or qualities, then I also want the godlike quantity. I also want to become God. So then the idea of being an ordinary person in the early steps of self-realization means that I'm realizing that I'm godly. I'm realizing. So one starts to feel some dominance or superiority, which is also the propensity in those who have fanatical tendencies, that then we want to go and beat people over the head with our godliness. you know, want to, you know, you will become godly too. Or you want to force it on the people, whereas those who are actually realized, they can recognize someone's situation, how they're positioned and located, and deal with them appropriately in order to guide them rather than trying to beat them into submission. And that their actions will speak much louder than their words. We were recently speaking with someone about the power of that, how they were trying to say that, no, I have to tell everyone and convince them, and realizing that actually that's putting more people off. Not that we don't share Krishna. Of course we go out and offer the opportunity to share Krishna, and if someone is inquisitive, then we can answer questions. But that's the point. We need to make people inquisitive, because when they inquire, then they're asking you. They're asking. But if people don't inquire and you just go and, like the other day I was walking through Covent Garden and there were about three or four different groups who had their whiteboards out from other religious organizations, and they were just, and it was regularly like, and if you don't do what we say, then you will go to hell. And I thought, I mean, that people still think this will attract someone. And I could see that some people were attracted, so it must work somehow, you know, because God is expert at attracting people from everywhere. So he's even attracting people through this type of, you know, fire and brimstone type of... But, you know, my experience was when someone was fire and brimstoning or Gita bashing, I was like, get out of my face, you know, leave me alone. I had enough of this. You know, I grew up in a culture that's all about that. I don't want that. But as soon as I was interacting in a way that was like that person was situated and happy in their own position, and they were also fine about the fact that I hadn't come to that point naturally in my life. It's sort of like if someone is pregnant, you know, or going to have a child, and you're like, oh, okay, you're 2 months in your, you know, progress to having a child. But if you're going up to them going, when are you going to have that baby? When are you going to have that baby now? You're going then you're going to stress them out and they might just, you know, lose the whole thing. But if you recognize, okay, you're in early stages, and I don't want to cause any stress, but I want to encourage and nourish and nurture and give little bits and be there, then we can help to see the whole thing through its full manifestation and birth. But otherwise, in a neophyte stage, because we're so, you know, we feel a lack of confidence in ourselves, we become self-conscious probably because we're giving up so much and taking on and we're not sure, and you know, and then like that, then we have to feel superiority, we have to feel like dominance or predominance over others, whereas the residents of Vrindavan are exceptionally advanced and they can just think themselves the humble servants of the servant, which actually is the ultimate goal, that we recognize ourselves as the servants of the servants of the servants, and we don't necessarily feel ourselves special in any way. But Krishna, by that mentality, he recognizes how special the devotees are, and he reciprocates, and he manifests the transcendental abode for us. Even though we think we don't deserve it or we're not qualified for it. But because of that mentality, we become completely qualified for Krishna to want to reveal that. I think I went off on a tangent there. I don't even know if I answered your question at all, but Hare Krishna. It was a good tangent. Thank you. It was a good rant. You can put that on the YouTube. Hare Krishna. Okay, I think we should probably finish here, but I just wanted to mention that also reading recently in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about the importance of approaching Krishna in the age of Kali means that we have to go through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. So as we approach Janmashtami tomorrow, then we should try to absorb ourselves also in the mood of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya and the Panchatattva. And because it's not that we can approach Krishna directly, we should not be illusioned to think that in this age of Kali we can go directly to Krishna. We have to go through the previous acharyas, and the previous acharyas are going through Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. In that mood of service, they come as servants of God. They don't come as God. They come as servants of God. And they set the mood. And that mood is that we are servants. We're servants of the servant of the servant. And their mood is to chant the holy names and perform Sankirtan. But even that Sankirtan, when we chant the holy names, also our chanting should be preceded by Jashi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. And then as soon as we take shelter of Lord Chaitanya, then we can enter into the Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Just like if you go to see the Prime Minister or the President and you go knocking on the door and trying to get in to see the exalted person, some gentleman with large rifles may escort you away. But if you go through the servant of the Prime Minister and you make your presence known and you make an appointment and an arrangement, then no problem. These men with rifles will lead you into the Prime Minister's office. So like that, we take shelter of the Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya and Advaita Acharya and Srivast Thakur, Gadadhar Pandit, and that way we can approach the Supreme Lord who will be manifesting tomorrow. Sri Krishna Jamashtami Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, the pleasure of their lordships, we have some Sankirtan scores from yesterday. In Radha's Boutique, we distributed two books for 100 and... Is that your writing? Is that nine? Yeah. 97 Lakshmi points. Hare Krishna. And in Govinda's restaurant, we distributed prasadam to at least 289 customers for a total of 2,216 Lakshmi points. And on book distribution, had three scores reported yesterday, starting with Vera Bhadrapu, who collected 10 Lakshmi points, distributed one medium hard, one big for 1.5 book points. One anonymous distributor, 38 Lakshmi points, 6 maha big for 12 book points. Bhakta Adam collected 45 Lakshmi points, distributed 11 small, 7 medium, 1 big, 4 maha big for 15.25 book points. Total of 3 devotees collecting 93 Lakshmi, distributing 11 small, 7 medium, 1 medium hard, 2 big, 10 maha big for 28.75 book points. Srila Prabhupada's Chandra Book Distribution Ki Jai. And I think the Nitai Pada Kamala Traveling Sankirtan Party will be coming back today. So we'll hear some of their adventures and scores, which I think things have been going pretty good. So we can now offer our prayer to their lordships. Dear Shishi Ramananda Nishwara, Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra, Shishi Gornitai, and Giri Govardhan, we offer our most respectful obeisances unto you. With a mood of deep gratitude and appreciation, we request your causeless mercy upon us. For your pleasure, we are endeavoring to distribute the books of your pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, to the fallen conditioned souls of London. Please enable us to cooperate together in a mood of selfless service in order to maintain and increase our efforts. Please send more devotees to assist us in bringing many new souls to your lotus feet. We, your surrendered servants, humbly beg. Srila Prabhupada, Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, a couple of quick announcements. One is that this morning we'll be taking breakfast prasad in the restaurant. We'll be doing that so that they can get on with immediately the decorations in the temple room to be prepared for tomorrow. So if everyone can go down, we'll need a couple of servers To help with that, and especially we need a few devotees to help clean up afterwards to make sure that everything is impeccable and immaculate. I was merging those two, immaculate. Impeccable and immaculate, so that when the restaurant staff comes in, they don't even know that we were ever there. So I would appreciate if devotees, so we have some volunteers for serving. Okay, one server and volunteers to help clean up the restaurant afterwards. Okay, one volunteer. All right, so that person will be very busy. hopefully you'll be able to do it all before the restaurant opens. And tomorrow is Janmashtami. Full schedule is on the board, starting from 4:30 going until after midnight. Lots of activities, lots of fun and surprises tomorrow, lots of different things, new additions. And then the following day we have Srila Prabhupada's Vyas Puja. We'll be celebrating again, so those of you who want to stay up all night, no problem, you can do that. and lots of activities, so please check the notice board or the website. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Krishna Janmashtami Ki Jai.
Thank you.